Hello, everybody. Please allow myself to introduce myself. I am your host, Captain Marvelous, and welcome to the 107th episode of I'm Batman, the podcast, the show where I chronologically review each episode of the 1992 Batman the Animated Series. Let's dance the dance, they dance in France. Let's get to it. This week's episode is titled Judgment Day, original air date October 31st, 1998. So just let me shorten things up a bit. This episode, Judgment Day, is the story of John Connor, who is a teenager. A T-1000 robot gets sent back in time to kill him, but he gets protected by the Terminator from the first film that was sent to kill his mom, Sarah Connor. But, oh wait, no, that's the wrong Judgment Day. Let me look up Judgment Day 2006 Staples Center. Okay, this Judgment Day, so correction from the previous statement, this was actually a WWF pay-per-view or WWE pay-per-view from 2006 where the main event saw Eddie Guerrero defend his WWE title against JBL, or I'm sorry, the other way around, JBL defend against Eddie Guerrero, and one of the bloodiest matches you've ever seen. I was there in person. I almost saw a guy bleed out in front of me. And it was amazing. So we start off with Rey Mysterio versus the Dudley Boys. And Rey Mysterio and RVD versus the Dudley Boys. Oh, wait. I'm being told that is the wrong Judgment Day as well. Alright, so all kidding aside. Judgment Day. Original air date October 31st, 1998. We start at the Penguin's Club, the Iceberg Lounge. Penguin is viewing a diamond taken to him by Killer Croc. Penguin wants to give Croc $50,000 for the diamond because no one is buying, according to Penguin. It's just not a seller's market, he says. Croc knows that he's being screwed out of money and he gets angry. At that moment, Two-Face walks in and Penguin has a better offer for him, although he doesn't say how much. Two-Face is happy that Penguin knows better than to screw with him.
$50,000 for the diamond. Not a penny more.
That's robbery. That rock's worth 10 times that much.
Don't forget, as a legitimate businessman, I have my expenses too. Taxes, overhead, labor.
And they call me Two-Faced.
Harvey, you're early. I was able to procure a slightly better price on your items.
I see you do have half a brain. Enough not to lowball me.
Naturally.
So what am I, a sap?
You're free to take your business elsewhere, but of course, who else can guarantee my level of confidentiality?
Croc angrily takes the money, and him and Two-Face are escorted out by Penguin's club girls. Penguin puts the diamond away in a safe, and he shows that he's made a lot more money than Two-Face and Croc took from their deal. At that moment, a mysterious voice speaks, and a man wearing a judge's robe and a wig and a black mask that completely covers his face appears.
Oh, Harvey, if you ever knew what I really cleared.
Is there no honor among thieves, Mr. Cobblepot? And you're worse than a thief, trafficking in stolen goods.
I don't know who you are, sir, but I assure you, my transactions were all legitimate. You see, I had no actual knowledge that the items were stolen. Given that, I don't see how the law can touch me.
I am the law. And I find you guilty.
Okay, I'll get to that I am the law post after in the post show notes. But, I do like this guy's look. He looks awesome. He's wearing a judge's robe with a mask that just completely blacks out his face. So he just looks like a giant silhouette. But he has the white powdered wig of an old school judge from like England. He looks really cool. It reminds me a lot of the Phantasm from the movie Batman Mask of the Phantasm. So he's kind of goofy in the sense that he repeats a lot of stupid one-liners that are like all law related. So he does the whole I am the law. Once again, I'll get to that And he does a lot of stupid things. I'm gonna throw the book at you. We'll get to all that later. The judge tries to kill Penguin with a sword, and Penguin runs away. Penguin finds his hench girls tied up. So then Penguin runs and tries to open a door, but it's locked. And the judge cuts a rope on a giant Penguin statue. The statue rolls towards Penguin and crashes onto him and through a wall. We go to a news report the next day, and it's saying that Penguin is in critical condition. Killer Croc is watching this in his hideout, and he smiles. Bruce Wayne is also watching the news in his car because he's a millionaire, so of course he has a TV in his car. The news report that Penguin's girls describe the man as wearing judge attire. Then Alfred asks if he's an associate of Batman's, and Bruce just frowns. The news interview a councilman named Jay Cochran. Cochran says that everyone knew Penguin was still a criminal, but no one did anything about it. So he backs up the judge's actions 100%. Two-Face is also watching the news, but he just sits there and he flips his coin. We cut to a toll bridge where some guards are putting the toll pickup into an armored truck. Before they drive off, we see that there's an open manhole beneath the truck. As the truck drives, we see that Killer Croc is hiding underneath. Croc uses his claws to cut through the truck floor and throw the guards off the truck, almost getting them killed by having them hit by a semi. So the semi just dives out of the way at the last minute. Croc drives off, but suddenly something drops on the roof of the truck. It's the judge, and he's carrying a giant judge gavel. So a gavel is the little hammer that the judge bangs on his desk when the court's out of order. You're out of order, I'm out of order, we're all out of order. It's like comically large, almost like Harley Quinn's mallet. The judge breaks the windshields of the truck, causing Croc to flip the truck over. Now, I would say that Croc and the judge have a fight, but it's a total squash match, with the judge saying so many corny puns that it would make Arnold's Mr. Freeze cringe. Seriously, that's one of the things I don't like about this guy. He's kind of dumb when it comes to this stuff, like all his dumb one-liners. The judge beats the ever-loving crap out of Croc with the gavel like if he was Triple H taking on Booker T at WrestleMania 19. Croc climbs the ropes of the bridge to the top, but the judge is suddenly already there. The judge keeps trying to kill Croc with his hammer, but Batman sees this from far away. Croc tries to take away the judge's hammer, so they're doing like a tug-of-war. The judge just lets it go, and Croc falls off the bridge. As Croc falls, he is saved at the last minute by Batman, but the judge gets away. We cut to Corcoran's office, where he is giving criminal files to the judge.
These police files weren't easy to come by, but I believe they'll be invaluable to your crusade. You understand, of course, I can't be connected to them.
Then why are you doing this?
The people like you, Judge. My polls have shot up 10 points since endorsing you. I figure if Gordon can have his hero, why can't I have mine? You knock a few heads, I go home with my hands clean. Everybody's happy.
Corcoran and the judge shake hands, and you know what? I totally agree with them. If Gordon can have Batman, why can't he and the judge be partners? I mean, the only difference between the judge and Batman is that the judge is more upfront about killing people than Batman is. We cut to a news report of a crime stopped earlier by the judge. So the Riddler was holding up some sort of writer's awards. For some reason, Riddler is using Joker's henchmen that look like the Three Stooges. So the henchmen get locked up in these, giant clamps. I don't know, it's really weird. So if you've ever seen the torture device, Hunchback of Notre Dame, when they put Quasimodo in the middle of the town, and he has that thing, the name of it is escaping me at the moment. But it's that thing where you put your head into one hole, there's two holes on the sides for your arms, and it clamps on top of you, and you're kind of just stuck there. Two of these like giant things get thrown on the mime, or on the Three Stooges thugs, and they're like magnetically clamped on there. Then Riddler gets tied up by a chain, and the judge drops a giant book on him. So there's like all these book props. The judge drops a giant book on Riddler saying, "It's about time someone threw the book at you." So once again, it's like really Arnold Schwarzenegger, Mr. Freeze territory here. I mean, he looks so cool, and those lines are just so dumb. Anyway, Corcoran says that he knew Riddler was next and that now Two-Face better watch out. Two-Face is in a bar and he shoots the TV. As he leaves, there's a man there with a beard and a white eye. The man follows Two-Face and he takes off his disguise to reveal that it's Batman. Two-Face drives to his stupid-looking, half-dilapidated, half-fancy hotel hideout. I still don't get this hideout. Anyways, Two-Face is inside, and Batman just tackles him. Like, seriously, Two-Face is, like, about to pour himself a drink or something, and Batman just freaking tackles him and starts handcuffing him. Batman says that he figures he should find Harvey before the judge does. At that moment, all of Two-Face's windows and doors are sealed shut, and he gets a message on the TV.
Hear ye, hear ye. I've overridden your security, Two-Face. Court is now in session. Your punishment is long overdue. I choose death by asphyxiation. May heaven have mercy on your souls, Two-Face. Both of them.
Gas starts to pour through the vents. Batman tells Harvey that he knows. He's like, knowing you, there's a secret way out. So Two-Face runs to this trap door on the floor, but it's sealed shut as well. Batman then throws Two-Face across a bar. Like, he seriously just arm drags him over a bar and tosses him. Even Two-Face like, hey, what's the big idea? Batman tells him to stay down, and then Batman throws an exploding batarang to the vent and everything blows up. So I guess his plan was, don't worry, we're not gonna asphyxiate to death, I'll just blow us up. He blows up like the entire building. But they are safe. Two-Face runs and just punts Batman across the face. Like, remind me to thank you later. And then he gets away. We cut to Corcoran on the phone with the judge. The judge wants to take out Batman for interfering, but Corcoran says that he has primaries coming up and he doesn't want the good guys to get into a slap fight. The judge hangs up and Corcoran is then visited by Batman, who climbs in through a window.
Ah, speak of the devil.
Where's the judge?
Oh, darn, you just missed him. And he keeps forgetting to leave his number.
I'm bringing him in, Corcoran.
What's the matter, Batman? Feeling threatened?
He's going to kill someone.
Who? Two-Face? Killer Croc? You think anyone cares? I'll tell you what people care about. The revolving door at Arkham that keeps sending these freaks back on the street. Not that I'm criticizing your work, mind you. You've done a heck of a job. Really great. But these days, people want results. They want closure. They want... I think he got my point.
Corcoran is 100% right about this, but Batman is just being stubborn, I guess. This is just like when a heel wrestler tells the truth and then the face's response is only to hit them. So, Batman is really not looking good here. He just leaves. Corcoran is walking to his car and he gets attacked by Two-Face and his men. And I mean, I don't know why he didn't expect this. Why didn't he just hire security for, like, to protect them at all times? He's calling out criminals on TV. Somebody's going to come after you. Two-Face has taken Corcoran to a courtroom, and he wants to know where the judge is. Corcoran says that he doesn't know how to find the judge. The judge calls him, and that's how it works. Two-Face says that he can still use Corcoran as bait. He flips his coin, and it lands Scar side up. Corcoran begs for his life as he's being dragged away by Two-Face's men. And he tells Two-Face that he has money to pay him, money he's been stealing from kickback projects. And Two-Face says, ha, you should have mentioned that earlier, we could have flipped for it. And he lets the guys take him away. In the Batcave, Batman examines that giant judge gavel that the judge left after his fight with Croc. So we see that the hammer broke when it fell off the bridge, but for some reason it's not damaged anymore, it's complete. Also, it's implied by Alfred that Batman took this from police evidence room, so yeah, I don't know who Batman is to judge anyone for breaking the law. Batman finds the gavel has four holes drilled onto it, like if a plaque used to be on there. Alfred figures that it used to be a trophy, so they scan the Batcomputer for matching awards, and they find one. The Marshall Award. given to top judges and attorneys. They scanned the list of names of who was awarded that, and Alfred gasped as they see a name that they recognize. We don't know what the name is yet. Two-Face's thugs have taken Corcoran to another part of the courthouse where there's a giant statue of Lady Justice. That's the woman with the blindfold and the two scales. Corcoran tells the thugs that he will pay them the money. There's more money that he didn't tell Two-Face about. But the guys are not stupid enough to two-time Two-Face. Suddenly, metal cuffs are thrown at them, and the cuffs are magnetized, making them drop their guns and having the henchmen be handcuffed to one another. The judge shows up, and he tries to kill the thugs with his sword. Now, I don't know why, I just noticed that the judge has a pair of keys hanging from his sleeve for some reason. Anyway, the thugs run away, and the judge cuts down this, like, giant torch that's part of the statue with his sword, and it lands on top of the two men. Corcoran wants the judge to kill the thugs. He's like, what are you waiting for? They tried to murder me! But the judge has his own sentence for Corcoran.
What are you waiting for? They were going to murder me!
Who are you to judge? You pose as a defender of the law while secretly stealing from the very people you swore to protect.
No, you got it wrong.
And then you lied to the judge.
Now, I haven't mentioned it, but just imagine Corcoran is like your stereotypical slimy politician. He looks like he's young. He has a pointy nose. He kind of just looks like Jim Carrey in a suit. But he's like a snively little weasel guy. So the judge is about to kill Corcoran with his sword, but Batman shows up and knocks the sword out of the judge's hand. The judge binds Batman's hands with the magnetic handcuffs, and they have a pretty darn cool fight afterwards. Corcoran gets free after the judge misses a swing with his sword and cuts off the ropes. Batman gets the upper hand, but the judge binds Batman's feet together with another set of magnetic cuffs. Batman shoots his grapple to the ceiling to climb towards there and escape, I guess, but the judge grabs onto Batman's cape. Both men swing back and forth in the air until Batman slams the judge against the statue and then kicks him off, and the judge lands on the giant scales of the statue, dropping him to the ground. Batman grabs the keys from the judge's sleeves, and he gets loose from his binds, and he lets Corcoran know who the identity of the judge is. Batman removes the judge's mask, and we see that the judge is none other than Two-Face! At that moment, the cops and the media walk in, and Corcoran is left standing there like an idiot holding the judge's mask. The newspaper the next day reports the news on Corcoran's money stealing and the judge being Two-Face, so his career as a councilman is over. Alfred and Bruce talk about the judge and Two-Face.
So let me understand this. In reaction to Two-Face, Harvey Dent created a third personality, one that would fight crime. A personality so separate, he even tried to kill himself without knowing it.
That's how the judge knew about the escape hatch in Two-Face's apartment. He knew everything about Two-Face, except that he was Two-Face.
Poor devil. What will ever become of him now?
As Alfred wonders what the fate of Two-Face will be, we cut to Arkham, where we hear a conversation between Two-Face and the judge.
Order in the court, in the matter of the people versus Harvey Dent. How does the prisoner plead?
Guilty. Guilty. Guilty.
Two-Face is sitting alone in his cell, wearing a straitjacket, just raving like a lunatic, as we fade to black. The end. Man, I really like this episode. A gem in a sea of last season crap, if you will. Yeah, this one's really good. So, post-show notes. The most obvious thing. The judge is just Batman's take on Judge Dredd. Even taking his catchphrase, I am the law. So Judge Dredd is a famous character from England, published by Dark Horse Comics. He is a judge from the future. I believe 2020 AD is the name of his comic book, where the legal system consists of these guys that are judges who are police, jury, and executioner all at once. So they'll, you know, basically this guy. They wear really cool armor with a helmet, big shoulder pads and stuff. Judge Dredd, sadly, is most famously known here in the U.S. for being played by Sylvester Stallone in the god-awful movie adaptation from 1995. There is another adaptation from 2012 starring Carl Urban, which is amazing, and it is one of my favorite comic book movies of all time. The stink of the Stallone film was so strong that this movie couldn't overcome it 17 years later, causing it to bomb at the box office. And I was so sad because this movie is really good. I recommend, if you have not seen Dredd, so there's two movies. 1995 Sylvester Stallone movie is Judge Dredd. The 2012 Carl Urban movie is just called Dredd. If you have not seen Dredd because you didn't like the Stallone film, believe me, this has nothing to do with that. And it is a really, really good movie. Man, I love that movie so much. I think I have to do a Gotham Goes Hollywood on it someday. So, as I mentioned, I like this episode a lot. Except for one thing. And this is a very nitpicky thing that is just something that... it's really not important, so it doesn't bog down the episode. What I don't like is that the judge was a third personality of Harvey Dent. I mean, we saw this same plot happen in the episode Second Chance, where Two-Face kidnaps Harvey Dent so that Harvey Dent won't have the surgery to repair the damaged side of his face and get rid of Two-Face, if that made any sense to you. Now, I would have loved if the judge, instead of being a third personality that even Harvey Dent and Two-Face weren't aware of, I would have loved if the judge was Harvey Dent's personality getting revenge on Two-Face for ruining his life. So just like a reversal of the Second Chance episode. So it would have, like, Harvey would have been inspired by Batman doing the whole vigilante thing. And he would have been at a point where he no longer cares. Like, he would realize that if he kills Two-Face, he would be killing himself. But he just doesn't care at this point. His life is just ruined, or having any chance at a normal life. Now, you may be asking, oh, well, why doesn't he just commit suicide as Harvey then? Well, because Harvey would want Two-Face to know what it's like to have his life ruined. So Harvey Dent personality would do everything to make sure that Two-Face's life is as miserable as his is. And then he would eventually end up, like, killing himself. I thought that would have been good. It's not what they went with. I don't mind, because this episode was still really good. Sadly, this is the fate of my favorite Batman villain, Harvey Dent Two-Face. He will spend the rest of his life as a lunatic in Arkham. Because just like Poison Ivy last week, who died in the ocean, we never see him again. As I mentioned, there's few villains that return in the DC Animated Universe that connect to the Batman Animated Series universe. In Batman Beyond, Mr. Freeze, Bane, Ra's al Ghul, or Ra's al Ghul. In, I believe, Justice League, Mr. Freeze, Clayface, and Joker. And in the Superman Animated Series, we still see one more episode with Bane, Penguin, and Riddler in it. Not much, just a small cameo from them. So, oh, and then there's a movie that was made later. It's called Mystery of the Batwoman, where Penguin, Bane, and I'm not sure if Riddler appears in that. We see them again. Rupert Thorne appears in that again. So, I mean, at least those characters aren't dead. They're still around. So Penguin didn't die from his injuries. Riddler didn't die by getting crushed by that book. So we'll see them again. We can just assume Croc is in prison and he just stayed there. And that Harvey, once again, is just a lunatic at Arkham again. Yeah, so this is the last appearance of Penguin, Riddler, Killer Croc, and Two-Face in this series. Let's go on to the Batcave Archives.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
The Batcave Archives is the part of the show where we rank each episode we have reviewed thus far. This is episode 107 out of 109. There are two episodes left in the series. Where would we rank this one? Obviously, I like this one a lot more than the episodes we've seen this season. I don't remember where we ranked last week's episode. I believe it was in the 80s. Chemistry was ranked at number 82. This is a lot better than that. Let's look at about halfway through the list. Let's look at number 50. We'll just even it out. There's 106, I know, but let's look at number 50. At number 50, we have the episode Be a Clown, and that's the episode where Joker kidnaps Mayor Hill's kid, or the kid actually runs away and joins Joker. That's a good episode. I think this one's better. Right above that, we have Tiger. Tiger, the episode where the mutant tiger, or I'm sorry, Catwoman gets turned into a literal Catwoman, and she's also, or that mutant tiger guy falls in love with her. Robin's Reckoning Part 2, I thought it was a good episode. The first one is amazing. The second one's okay. Right above that, Off Balance, the first appearance of Talia al Ghul. That was a pretty good episode. Right above that, Heart of Steel Part 2, the episode with the robots. I like that whole storyline a lot. I still think this is better. 45, Terror in the Sky. I always go back to this one because Terror in the Sky was the first episode aired. It was the pilot episode for Batman the Animated Series. That's the episode with Man-Bat. I really, really like that episode. I mentioned it countless times before. The animation in that episode is just amazing. And it just always has a special spot in my heart because that animation is so good. Based on the animation alone, I mean, the story's good, the Man-Bat story. So I actually do prefer that episode over this one. As I said, this episode has a good story with a good twist. I'm just saddened at the fate of my favorite character, Two-Face. I would have loved to see more adventures with him as the villain, but now he's just a loon stuck at Arkham. I think I'm going to put this week's episode below it. So at our new number 46, Judgment Day. Alright, everybody, that's going to be it for this week. Once again, two episodes left in the series. We have, I'm not going to make too many promises, because I'm in the middle of something that's taking a lot of time, something personal, you know, personal life matters. It's taking a lot of my time, so I do not want to promise what I will continue doing with the podcast after those two episodes. But we're nearing the end, everybody, and I want to thank you for joining me for the ride. Once again, though, thank you for listening. And remember, if you have any questions, suggestions, or thoughts on the reviewed episodes or the show in general, send them to Captain_Marvelous1@yahoo.com. I have been your host, Captain Marvelous, and remember, no matter where you're from, no matter who you are, we are the law.